Good morning.
Yep. Okay. We're trying something new today to kind of a beta test that nobody knows about, and we're going to discuss after the service.
Oh, yeah?
And we're going to live YouTube the service as well. It won't be interactive. It'll just be a way to look at things after we reopen the church in the middle of July. But Willis is supposedly setting up the camera right now. And that's when I've got my screen split so I can see half and half.
Cool. Yeah, he told me a little bit about that fancy camera.
Yep. He had it on focus on the loudest noise the other day at the funeral, and it focused on the top of the tent where the chain was rattling.
Yeah. Perfect.
I think he's going to do it a little differently this time.
That's funny.
Let's see. Doesn't look like he has it set up yet. Hello, Miss Emily. How are you?
Nice to
good morning.
Good morning. Nice to have it a little bit cooler.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I see where you picked up the rest of the wood.
I did, yes.
I'm sorry I wasn't there to help you.
I'm actually just as glad that you weren't. Because I was able to handle it and you were able to do things more important.
Well, most of the time, you're right.
I thought it was nice of you to offer, though.
Ah, there's my lovely wife. Well, kind of, sort of. I can see her name.
I'll be back. I'm not here to stay at the moment. Hi, Emily. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I'm sorry I couldn't visit yesterday.
That was so funny.
Anyway, I gotta go finish getting dressed. I'll be back in a minute, okay?
She doesn't have her Sunday shirt on.
I don't have my Sunday shirt on, no. It's Flag Day. It's Flag Day. I gotta go put on red, white, and blue.
That's what she made me change shirts.
I did. He was wearing green and orange on Flag Day.
It is Flag Day. I just read about it on this day in history.
Did you read my DARE minute?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Thank you.
No change here.
Okay, we will change.
It's interesting. I wonder why red, white, and blue became such prominent flag colors. I'm thinking because they could be seen and determined from a distance.
And the different designs are distinctive, so you could tell whether they were the good red, white, and blue guy or a bad red, white, and blue guy.
Yeah.
Like the French and the English.
You know, like Italy is what? Red, green, and white.
Yeah, red, white.
Those are just as easily distinguished on a battlefield as red, white, blue.
After a fashion, but the Italians and the French didn't fight each other very much, and when they did, it was before flags, so who knew?
And the whole Betsy Ross thing,
yep.
You know, did she or didn't she? But the flag coming into existence is still a very interesting story.
I think the Betsy Ross story is just fine. I don't think that's with it.
Because somebody.
Anyway, somebody did it.
Exactly. And it may not have been Betsy Ross, but somebody did it. And it was someone very talented with a needle and thread. And somebody well known to the cause.
Yep.
You sound like you have stayed incredibly busy during this pandemic.
I wouldn't say that. I've been busy, you know, with other people doing things, but there wasn't a great deal of pressure on me to deliver anything. Carol has more pressure on her than I do.
Well, she was so funny yesterday. That's what she's talking about, going over to Angela's house. Because I was sitting on the porch thinking I would, you know, keep Angela company. Not that she needs company, but we had a great time.
Well, we about burned up. That's the last morning we're going to spend on her porch because the sun shines directly on you and just roasts you.
That's what she said. How many of the cafe crowd came back to her house?
Well, there were seven of us.
Wow, that's significant.
But that's the normal crowd. That's, let's see, Lynn and...
did Keith come?
Keith, Lynn and Keith and Peggy and Angela and me and Carol. And yesterday we had... don't ask me about names. Yesterday we had...
give me a context.
She used to be the treasurer. She used to be the secretary of DAR.
Okay. Oh, Harriet Little.
Harriet Little came by. But it took a while to get everything together because Lynn had a couple of tourists from... Raleigh, who wanted to get out of town and decided to come to Fincastle. I don't know why they picked that, but Lynn had to go open early cabin for them and get them a walking tour. She didn't walk with them, but she gave them a walking tour. And there's Flash coming up.
I don't know what determines when I see people.
I don't either.
I mean, I'll see a name, I'll see a name, but often I never see, well, I'm on a really small screen, that's why.
Well, now you can see Matt Rossi is on, but his face isn't there. Carol's on, but she's muted her thing, and I see Flash is ready to go, except her mic is off. So if she turned on her microphone, we could hear her and say hello. And I know it's Flash because I can see her magnifying glass.
I have a question.
Yep.
What Bible is Willis using to get the readings out of? It's not the NRSV.
I'm not sure. I think it's the NIV. That's the one that we use, and the wording's pretty close, if it's not the same. You need to ask him.
Well, I just thought maybe you knew.
No, I do not. I know that the readings from the big book on the lectern, mm-hmm. that you and I use as LEM, has the same wording as the one that Gina prints out for everybody.
Exactly. And there's, I'm pretty Flash. Sure.
There's Flash. Hello, Flash.
Good morning, Flash. Good morning.
Turn on your... Malin, you and Flash are muted.
I'm unmuted. Flash is unmuted.
And there's Flash. She's unmuted now, too.
Hi, Flash.
Good morning, Flash. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Good.
Hi, Claire. Good. Claire goes, there you are. Hi. You know Flash.
Good morning.
Flash, that blue is beautiful on you.
Well, thank you.
It really is. It's lovely.
You're a favorite person of mine.
You're a favorite person of mine.
Thank you, Emily.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
How's everybody?
We're doing well.
Good.
We're good.
Carol had to put on her Sunday shirt. She'll be up in a second.
I just did that.
She made me wear red, white, and blue because it's Flag Day.
Yeah. Oh,
that's right.
Flash, don't you look pretty today?
You too, Pat.
No.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Willis.
That looked like Willis there.
Hey, David.
I see that.
And Willis, I'm looking at you twice, just in case you were wondering.
Okay.
Willis, have you powdered your head?
Nah, not yet. You can tell.
It's growing a little bit, though. Good.
But it is, yeah. Okay. We decided that we're definitely going to be growing it in for a while.
That'll make Brett happy.
Don't they call that peach fuzz?
I think it makes everybody happy.
Your congregation decided the same thing.
Yeah.
Good morning, Matt.
Morning, all. Sorry, I was having some headphone issues. That's why I was in and out a few times.
Hey, Joyce.
Matt, how's baby child this morning?
She's asleep right now. She's doing great. She slept all night last night, which was a pleasure. Yeah, it was wonderful.
I loved it.
Every one of you, happy Flag Day, we just learned, and also happy second Sunday after Pentecost. And a real treat to have each one of you here on our Zoom service of morning prayer. I hope you received the bulletin. We've beginning to put some of the pieces together for our regathering in July, and one of those will be everything contained in one bulletin to sort of eliminate touch points for us as we come into the sanctuary and regather. And so this is the first sort of opening salvo with the new format. We might tweak it a little more. Or if you have suggestions, please email me. Gina did a great job with this one. Just really happy to have each one of you with us this morning. And our opening hymn, note that Anna wrote, and we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and 5. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of the opening hymn. And let us begin our worship today.
Thank you.
Service continues on page 40 of the Book of Common Prayer, or follow along with your service bulletin. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. O send out thy light and thy truth, that they may lead me and bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy dwelling. I was glad when they said unto me, we will go into the house of the Lord. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His holy hands. To set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation, and so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship Him, let us sit in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by His infinite goodness and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from Thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against Thy holy laws, and we have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare Thou those who confess their faults. Restore Thou those who are penitent, according to Thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for His sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Thy holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of His Holy Spirit. O Lord, open Thou our lips,
and our mouth shall proclaim Thy praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Our service continues with the Jubilate. Let us say together, O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with a song. Be ye sure that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. O go your way into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and speak good of His name. Our psalm appointed for today is Psalm 116, verses 1 and 10 through 17. It's found on page 759 of the prayer book. Let's read it responsively by whole verse. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading comes from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind them. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our first canticle in response is the Gloria in Excelsia. Let us say together, "Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen. A reading from the book of Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope that does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our canticle in response is Morning Glory, Starlit Sky, verses 2, 3, and 6. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hey, give me a show of heads nod. Everybody can hear me? A second ago, Zoom told me that I was being signed out. Okay, good. I'm still here. I'm actually here. And that's a nice way to start today because I love humor. It's an incredible way to diffuse really tense situations and to even invite you into sort of a new shift of a paradigm or into a new way to think or to make a new connection. But I'll just share a quick story. The first time that we ever traveled to Europe as a family, and it was a total disaster flying on Piedmont Airlines from Raleigh to Gatwick. And we hit a huge Atlantic storm to the degree that they didn't even have service with the stewardess all flight long. It was just one roller coaster after another. And everybody was petrified, tired, and hungry when we arrived safely in Gatwick. And we were at wit's end, snipping at each other, screaming at each other. I mean, it was just that sort of disaster that we've all been there. And we get in a taxi cab to go to our hotel. And I'm sure the cab driver was like, oh no, these people are in terrible shape. And we get to the stop sign and we hear the taxi driver say, he got it all eight. And we had no idea what the guy was saying. And then he said, again, nine. He started pointing, he got it all eight. Well, of course, what he was actually saying is he's got a bald head. But it came across like he got it all eight. My dad reminded me of this story, in case you haven't figured out why, because I don't have any hair anymore. And he saw me a Friday week ago and say, he got it all eight, which did allow us to diffuse the shock value over my newly shorn head. But humor, right? Humor is also part and parcel in our relationship with God, too. Woody Allen famously adapted the old Yiddish proverb of we plan and God's laugh to say, if you want to make God laugh, then tell him your plans. So true, right? Especially the futility of planning has never been on a larger display than during the period of the coronavirus. A year ago, I was looking at my calendar and we were having the first meetings to discuss our 250th anniversary events this year. Well, that has gone out like a whimper thus far, though we'll still celebrate. But so much for our advanced planning. We plan and God laughs. And this thesis can sort of cut two ways, right? We can fight it. We can keep our nose to the grindstone and sort of keep up our piece of the work, and we can keep all those to-do lists sharp and our time managed down to the most nanosecond, or we can sort of let go of the urge to plan, and we can accept that we're not in control and sort of acquiesce to the comedy that life throws us, one person, one story at a time. We can become playful, in other words, and look for humor as a connection in life. Another way to view this is the law, the control, the planning, and the gospel, the humor, the letting go, and the enjoyment that comes from being free to laugh. Now, none of us are linear actors, even if we think we are. And so my hunch is that we alternate between both of these positions, between sort of overly planning, because I was on the phone with somebody this morning making a plan, and then the other side giving up and laughing and those full body chuckles. And it's summertime, and so that means we can revisit the Chevy Chase classic Summer Vacation, which serves as a great illustration of this tension. If you haven't seen it, I commend it to you. It's the story of the Griswold family's cross-country odyssey to a Wally World. The family is dead set. That's their plan, to go to Wally World and enjoy the rides and the amusement park that is known as Wally World. Along the way, Aunt Edna dies. Their car flies into the desert. The swimsuit model, Christy Brinkley, makes a surprise visit, but nothing stops them from the pursuit of this dream that they're holding so tightly, their plan. Until they get to the park, Wally World, and they learn that the park has been closed. The joke that Chase uses is, it's like driving to Florida, except at the state line, the state says it's closed for business. And it's the kind of experience then where you start gritting your teeth and you repeat some sort of crazy statement like, aren't we having fun yet? Isn't this just great? In other words, you're about ready to pop like a rocket. And it exposes, of course, our futile attempts at planning and control. And so Chase's character does, like any of us, after an odyssey that ends with the park being closed, and he snaps. He buys a BB gun, and he hijacks the John Candy security guard character, and they go riding in the park. In other words, the law then literally shows up to arrest them for trespassing and taking a hostage. And then you see, in the film, the moment of exemplary grace. You see the comedy when Wally World's owner shows up, and after some cajoling, he lets the family go. And the film ends, spoiler, sorry, but it was 30 years ago. The film ends with everybody riding the roller coasters together and having fun. Meaning the law then brings the family to its knees, but grace really unlocks their joy, their laughter, their smiles. So often, like in Chase's films, humor does become this doorway for grace and the place of ridiculousness that allows us to enjoy, to feel life. And we encounter a ridiculous scene in the Abraham and Sarah story from Genesis. Little background. Abram was called to leave his country and found a new nation. And his name was changed during this calling to Abraham, which literally means father of many nations. And God's covenant was that through his then barren wife, Sarah, a seed would fertilize this new nation. Despite God's repeated commitment to Abraham, no heir had been born except the son of the slave Hagar, Ishmael, who was not an illegitimate heir. So tensions are getting high as these three men appear by the holy spot of the oak of Mamre. And that's where our text picks up today. There's a side note here, is that there's no coincidence that last Sunday was Trinity Sunday, and that the appearing of these three men by the tree is a classic icon for Eastern Orthodox faith of the Trinity. So Abraham understands the significance of these men, because he immediately begins to talk about preparing a feast, a welcome for these three voices of our Lord. So he gets some wonderful cakes, probably the best vino he can find, and even gets some veal for the slaughter. The feast is prepared, and they zero in then on this promise of the heir. And Abraham seems to be listening intently. Did you notice that? He's like right by the tree while these three folks are gorging on this fine picnic. But it's really Sarah who's behind the tent and who's sort of in the shadows and overcome with sarcasm, if you didn't pick up that. Sarah laughs as these men start talking about an heir. And she says, after I've grown old, she's almost 100 years old, and my husband is old. He's almost 100. Shall I have pleasure to have a child? Now, that would be like the ridiculousness of how I wake up at 4 a.m. to take Timmy outside, and I'm only 41 years old. I couldn't imagine having a newborn when you're almost 100 years old, just the sheer fact of having to get up in the middle of the night. right? It's a comedic situation. And so she laughs at this ridiculous idea of a baby for somebody 100 years old, because that just doesn't happen in the economy of the world. It just doesn't happen. Now notice right there in the text, the three men are no longer referred to as the three. It's the Lord talking. And this humor somehow, this sarcasm that Sarah is exhibiting somehow gets God's full attention. And he asks, why did you laugh? Sarah becomes afraid and maybe even defensive and says, I didn't. But God ends by saying, oh, yes, you did. It seems to be that God is attracted to this humor. He's not put off by it. He's drawn to the realness of Sarah's sarcastic statement. Flash forward a few chapters in Genesis, and the story does unfold when Abraham was 100 years old and his son Isaac was born to him. And Isaac, by the way, means he who laughs. Sarah says, after his son was born, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Notice it's almost a communal laughter now. It's a community of humor. It's back to that Wally World image of everyone riding the roller coaster together. The story of Abraham and Sarah is not a story about God's flippancy, but it's a story about how they almost crack up because of their maniacal attention to the law and the order. But yet God's covenant exists outside of their works, of what they do. And when they start to make jokes and give up, they are actually receptive to receive grace. And specifically their son, the one named, he laughs. It's a story that reminds us so poignantly that through grace, through laughter, our defenses are weakened and exposed. We can be real with one another. Relationships then can begin to connect and flourish even. And this is how God's economy works, through the unexpected. After all, this story is nothing but a forerunner to another ridiculous birth story, the unlikely birth of an unwed mother, a virgin teenager who gave birth to the Savior of the world, not in a holy place, but in a barn, in a manger. A son then who would be sacrificed for you and me on the cross. A place that was void of humor. But at that moment of death and then resurrection, with a paradoxical twist, it actually opens the door for us to laugh freely, to give up control, to accept grace, to love liberally, and to laugh at our plans, because God does really have this under control. It's at that point of letting go that transformation can occur. When we understand that God is in control, and the good news is that God's unexpected provision for the world happens completely outside of ourselves. Now, in this current age, we need God's unexpected grace and provision more than ever. We need to hear laughter. We need to connect with one another through tears and through jokes and through a realness. There is nothing, of course, funny about the twin towers of a global pandemic that might resurge at any minute, and the uncovering and boiling over of the latent and systematic racism in our country. There's nothing funny about those. And these twin towers will topple even the most mighty planner, bringing us to our knees. But they won't topple God. They won't topple God. And humor will still be the salve for the wounds of the world. Not laughing at the sins and the evils, but at each other and our futile attempts to try to plan and control. In fact, the humor and surprise of God is the only good news out there. If you don't believe me, then just watch the actual news for a few minutes. Bob Dylan spoke about this in a powerful interview this weekend in the New York Times. He was talking about the gospel music and of Lionel Richie and the good news. And Dylan said, good news in today's world is like a fugitive, treated like a hoodlum and put on the run, castigated. All we see is good for nothing news. And we have to thank the media industry for that. It stirs people up, gossip and dirty laundry, dark news that depresses and horrifies you. On the other hand, gospel news is exemplary. It can give you courage. It makes you smile and laugh. You can even live your life according to it, or at least try to. I would go on to say that the gospel news is the foothold of healing and reconciliation. It is in our unexpected time that we live in, the unexpected yet super good news that the Holy Spirit is really alive and well, sowing seeds for racial healing, protecting us from this global pandemic. It's powerful and it's real. Even in just the last few days, the conversations I've had with people around race have been nothing short of God-inspired. God is at work in the world. God is at work knitting us together in unexpected and ridiculous and crazy ways. So crazy that maybe even we too can laugh. But we can most assuredly know that God has got this under control. We can let go of control. Amen.
Our service continues on page 40 in the prayer book. Let's reaffirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us.
And grant us thy salvation.
Endue thy ministers with righteousness.
And make thy chosen people joyful.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in thee can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under thy care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let thy way be known upon earth.
Thy saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with thy Holy Spirit.
We pray together for our human family. We give thanks for the risen Christ, our hope, and the author and perfecter of our faith. Pray with me. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, the presiding bishop, Mark, our bishop, for this gathering and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. I ask your prayers for the world battling the coronavirus. I ask your prayers for America and all of those affected by racism. We pray for Donald, our president, Ralph, our governor, and Mary Bess, the mayor of our town. Give them all, O Lord, wisdom, clarity, and right discernment in this time of pandemic and civil unrest. Pray for the world. I ask your prayers for healthcare workers, first responders, the National Guard, and our military, who with hearts of service stand on the front lines of providing care and managing the protests. Grant them courage and protection as they put the needs of public safety before their own. I ask your prayers for the delivery personnel, grocery store workers, and all who keep our supply chain moving and our households with the goods to remain safe and in good care. We ask for protections from a second coronavirus wave. Pray for those keeping us safe and healthy. I ask your prayers for those whose jobs have been affected by this virus. We pray for those feeling economic uncertainty. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, victims of racism, and those in prison. We pray especially for those isolated because of the coronavirus. We pray for all of those on our weekly parish prayer list, remembering especially Bobby Wade, and any we name at this time, either silently or aloud.
Jack Winston. Meg Johnson.
Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by Jesus. Pray for all who do not know him or reject him, that they will experience Jesus' love and grace. I ask your prayers for the departed, remembering especially Velma Beasley, the mother of Dan Beasley. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Let us pray. Keep, O Lord, we beseech thee, thy household, the church, in thy steadfast faith and love, that by the help of thy grace we may proclaim thy truth with boldness and minister thy justice with compassion. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O most mighty and merciful God, in this time of grievous sickness, we flee unto thee for succor. Deliver us, we beseech thee, from our peril. Give strength and skill to all those who minister to the sick. Prosper the means made use of for their cure. And grant that, perceiving how frail and uncertain our life is, we may apply our hearts unto that heavenly wisdom which leadeth to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who did stretch out thine arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of thy saving embrace, so clothe us in thy Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know thee to the knowledge and love of thee, for the honor of thy name. Amen. Let us say together the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication unto thee, and hath promised through thy well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, thou wilt be in the midst of them, fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is love divine, all loves excelling. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Hey, Bobby Wade.
Oh, where's Bobby?
Go to the other page.
I still can't do the unmute all. I don't know why, so you'll have to unmute yourself. I'm sorry, guys.
I thought you were all powerful, Willis.
I did too. Shows you about planning, Chuck.
I would like to recommend a book. Most of you know Linda Brody. Her son is John Meacham. And this book is The Hope of Glory, and it's reflections on the last words of Jesus from the cross. And it's short, it's 100 pages, so it's not like his other books. So if you're used to reading John Meacham, this one's gonna be a little quicker. You can read it in a day, so.
Cool, Bruce.
That's great.
Speed readers can.
Hey, Willis, another movie that follows that same arc is Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes, it does. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I was also thinking, has anybody ever seen The Life of Brian?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah. Remember that opening scene?
Oh, boy. Brian Piccolo.
Hi.
The Chicago Bears.
Hey, Mayor.
Hey, Uncle Will.
Nice to see you.
I tell you, you look mighty handsome in the new do.
Oh, you had to see it. Long day.
You have a new member of your congregation. His name is Orion. He's sitting out here for the whole service.
Oh. All right.
Hey, Orion.
He picked up his head to say hello.
Good dog.
Rob, how are you and Charlotte doing?
I can't hear
you. You got to unmute yourself, Rob.
Ooh, hi.
How are you doing?
We're doing okay, Pat. Thank you. Charlotte and Julie are flying down to Florida today, and they're just going to be in the sun for a week.
Well, that's probably the best thing.
Well deserved.
Good.
It's a beautiful service.
It was a beautiful service. It really was.
Thank you, Willis.
Welcome, Rob.
I really have a friend from London attend the service.
Oh my goodness.
On YouTube.
Say that again, Rob.
Charlotte had a friend from London who tuned in on YouTube.
Wow.
Oh, I'm good.
That's great. I guess
that's one advantage to distance churches.
Yes.
We just started this YouTube, and you can pass this along to Charlotte, Marie, and Julie, Rob. There's been over, I think, 330 views, individual views of the service, which is
thank
really
you so awesome. Much.
And I think Chuck said there were 80-some who were viewing it live. Is that right, Chuck?
Mm-hmm. That's correct, 87.
87, viewed it live while the service was going on.
It really was pretty.
Willis, the very next morning, first thing Charlotte did in the pre-dawn was tune into your words again.
Mm.
Be able to replay it.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Where are they going to go in Florida, Rob?
Captiva. At the end of Sanibel.
Double thumbs up there.